the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. The Apostle John has recorded a name which Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit that's not used in any other book of the New Testament. Apparently, he was the inspired writer chosen to reveal the name Comforter to the church. They're not found anywhere else. It has next to the Holy Spirit become the favorite term designating the third person of the Godhead. The importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter can be realized from the words of Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. John 16:7. Apparently, Jesus considered it more important for his disciples that the Holy Spirit be present with them than that he in his bodily presence abide with them. Jesus was geographically limited by his incarnation, but the Comforter would dwell in each believer and thus have a worldwide ministry through them. Two important expressions are used in John 14:16 with regard to the coming of the Comforter that must not be overlooked. First, Jesus spoke of him as another Comforter. This word another is a clue to the meaning of the word Comforter. The word used here means another of the same kind. The Holy Spirit is not another kind of comforter, but another of the same kind as Jesus had been. Whatever Jesus was to that little band of disciples, the Holy Spirit would be to them. In fact, Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you," John 14:18. The words translated comfortless here literally mean orphans. Jesus did not leave his disciples as orphans. In fact, he did not leave them at all. He departed as a suffering Christ only to come to them again in the Holy Spirit. Christ is not restricted to a position in heaven. He dwells in our hearts. Jesus dwells in us in the same way that the Comforter dwells in us. Being full of the Spirit means being full of Jesus. This is not saying that Jesus and the Spirit are the same, but just as Jesus was full of the Spirit, so is the Spirit in his presence full of Jesus. If the Spirit can dwell in the Son, then the Son in his glorified state can dwell in the Spirit. Jesus was in the Father, and the Father was in Jesus, so that those who saw the Son saw the Father. We are in Christ, and he is in us. Thus we read, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Mark 16:19-20. The Lord was in heaven, but he was also on earth in the power of the Spirit, working his same signs and miracles. This is possible only because each member of the Trinity is omnipresent and each is present in others. Secondly, Jesus said the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The promised Comforter was given in a permanent sense. He abides with the believer forever. As long as there is a church, there will be a Comforter. We may expect that the Spirit's permanence in the church will result in the same works of power and blessing as in all ages. It is through the Spirit that Jesus is to us the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13:8. The word translated comforter in the King James Version is the Greek word parakletos. The modern understanding of the word comforter is no longer adequate to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We think of a comforter as one who consoles in the time of sorrow. The Spirit does not only console us in our sorrow, but rather gives strength and victory over our sorrows. It is true that the disciples were sorrowful over the announced departure of their Lord, but the other paraclete was to remove that sorrow by taking the place of Jesus. Some versions translate with the word advocate, for the word parakletos obviously means advocate when applied to Jesus in 1 John 2:1b. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We understand that an advocate is one who represents another, pleads the cause of another. that this is one of the real functions of the indwelling Spirit is clear from Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. The Son and the Spirit are both advocates of our cause and intercessors for us. The Spirit intercedes from within us while the Son intercedes at the throne of grace. Closely akin to the above meaning is that of helper. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, Romans 8:26. The most literal meaning of parakletos is one called to one side to help. The Comforter does not do for us what we ourselves can do, but he does help us do whatever we attempt for God. God has chosen to work through human instruments, but only when such instruments are yielded to the Holy Spirit. There is yet another meaning of the word parakletos. The verb form from which parakletos comes means to beseech or to exhort. It is used in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Spirit not only comforts, encourages, intercedes, and helps, but he also entreats, exhorts, and beseeches. He is a persuader. Without the persuasion of the Holy Spirit, no preaching could succeed, nor could any sound doctrine long endure uncorrupted. No consideration of the Spirit's office work would be complete that did not take into account his beseeching, convincing operations. However, when all definitions have been considered, we will still have to agree with A.J. Gordon, who said, "The name is the person himself. And only as we know the person can we interpret his name. Why attempt to translate this word any more than we do the name of Jesus? Certain it is that the language of the Holy Ghost can never be fully understood by an appeal to the lexicon. The heart of the church is the best dictionary of the Spirit. While all the before-mentioned synonyms are correct, neither one is adequate, nor are altogether sufficient to bring out the full significance of this great name, the Paraclete." Adoniram Judson Gordon, the Ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Comforter is given in detail in the following four passages from the Gospel of John. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you," John 14:16-18. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you," John 14:26. "But when the Comforter is come, I will send to you from the Father even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeds from the Father. He shall testify of me," John 15:26. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you," John 16:7-15. In these passages, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is divided into four phases. Let us consider them under these four headings. 1, he is our teacher. 2, our reminder. 3, the revealer of Jesus. And 4, the reprover of the world. He is our teacher. The Spirit of truth, he shall teach you all things, John 14:26. 1, he guides into truth. He will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. The Spirit's work is to guide into all truth. Half truth is sometimes worse than ignorance. Christ desires that we come to a full knowledge of all divine truth relative to redemption and to God's glory. The Holy Spirit guides into the truth of God's word, revealing the hidden meaning, making its teachings clear, and causing even the most familiar passages to radiate with new beauty and meaning. Because the Bible is a spiritual book, the reader needs someone to teach him and lead him into its truths. See Acts 8:30 and 31, Luke 14:45, and 1 Corinthians 2:14. Who better can guide than he who first inspired its writers? Note the ignorance of the disciples before they received the infilling of the Spirit. They failed to comprehend what Jesus meant when he referred to the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Matthew 16:6-11. They could not grasp the meaning of his parables. Mark 4:10. They failed to perceive what Jesus referred to when he spoke of the death of Lazarus as a sleep. John 11:11-14. They completely missed the truth concerning his resurrection. John 29. However, after the day of Pentecost, they were like different men, giving wonderful exposition of Old Testament passages, being perfectly familiar with their meaning. They could fully understand the scripturalness of his resurrection now. Acts 2:25 and 31. Before Pentecost, they could not see that Jesus must suffer, but now they understood the Old Testament prophecies of his crucifixion. Acts 4:25-28. Many of the sermons they preached were but expositions of passages from the Old Testament scriptures. Acts 2:16-21. Acts 3:12-26 and 7:2-53. What a wonderful insight to truth they now had. Second, he acts as God's mouthpiece for revealing his words and desires. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. John 16:12-13. This probably refers in its largest application to the Holy Spirit inspiring chosen men to write the New Testament scriptures. Paul declares that he received the marvelous truths contained in his epistle by revelation, Galatians 1:12-16, Ephesians 3:3-5. This was no doubt accomplished through the ministry of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He also speaks to individual Christians' heart, revealing what God would have each to do in his service for the Lord. Note how the Spirit guided Philip to join the Ethiopian eunuch, that he might lead him to Christ. Acts 8:26-29. See also the Spirit leading Paul with regard to where he should minister. Acts 16:6-10. Third, he reveals things that are yet to come. He will show you things to come. John 16:13. Blessings ahead in one's own spiritual life. 1 Corinthians 2:9-12 speaks of the things ahead for the child of God which he has never imagined. This refers to the fullness of the glorious redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul declares, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:10. There are also wondrous spiritual truths in relation to the Lord which have not yet been grasped. And Paul prays that these may be made known. Ephesians 1:17-21. The Comforter continually stirs up the heart of each Christian to a fuller endeavor in seeking the fullness of God. Be dispensational truths. The Holy Spirit will witness to those who will hear as to what lies ahead for the world and the church, making the prophetic scriptures clear. Amos 3:7, Genesis 18:17. Each one should be careful, though, that no personal revelations are accepted which are not perfectly in keeping with the teachings of Jesus and the written word of God. The Paraclete has no independent teaching. Let no one say that the Spirit has revealed anything which is in conflict with the plain teachings of Christ. Let us be aware of any so-called new movements of the Spirit where Christ's teachings are said to be outdated or overruled by new revelations. No teaching which belittles the Word of God can possibly come from the Holy Spirit. And what lies ahead in the pathway of the believer? When God chooses certain men for specific tasks, His call is brought to their heart by the Holy Spirit. Many times He will make known certain things that lie ahead and prepare the individual worker for unforeseen eventualities. Agabus was sent by the Holy Spirit to tell Paul of the dangers that lay ahead for him at Jerusalem, Acts 21:10 and 11. Thus, Paul was strengthened and prepared for the coming conflict. It is important that the Christian be sensitive to the leadings of the Spirit in relation to these things. B. He is our reminder. He shall bring all things to your remembrance, John 14:26. Man's memory, as every other function of his being, has suffered as a result of the fall. He needs and has a wonderful reminder in the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. First, He reminds us, He's reminding us of the Word of God. He shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you, John 14:26. Much trouble and heartache would be saved the servant of the Lord if he were more mindful of the word that has been given. Peter would never have denied his Lord if he had remembered what Jesus had said unto him sooner. Matthew 26:75. The disciples would not have to spend those three harrowing days and night while Jesus was in the grave, nor would they have doubted the woman who told of his resurrection if they had only remembered what he had said about his death and resurrection. Matthew 16:21, 17:22, 23, 20:18, 19, John 2:22, Luke 24:6 and 11. Peter's and the early church leaders' prejudices against Gentiles were overcome when they remembered the word of the Lord, Acts 11:15-18. In times of persecution, when the devil will whisper that one is out of God's will, how precious to remember John 15:18-20. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept me saying my saying, they will keep yours also. In times of chastening, when one is tempted to think God does not love him, or he would not have allowed this, how comforting to remember that it is whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hebrews 12:6. Reminding of a special promise God has given in the past. How many times Paul must have been encouraged as the Holy Spirit reminded him of that night in the castle in Jerusalem, when the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome," Acts 23:11. Especially in the great storm at sea, Acts 27:24-25. How precious to be reminded of God's faithfulness in all the days that have gone by, and to be assured that He will watch over His own now. Blessed be the Lord that has given rest to His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses His servant. 1 Kings 8:56. And bringing the memory thoughts and scriptures when one is preaching or dealing with a soul about his spiritual need. How many times just the right passage has been brought to mind? He is the revealer of Jesus. He shall testify of me, John 15:26. He shall glorify me, John 16:14. These promises of Christ were certainly fulfilled in the early church, and whenever the ministry of the Holy Spirit is honored. Whenever the Spirit is powerfully moving, be sure that Jesus is powerfully glorified. Through the operations of the Holy Spirit, there is a threefold revelation of Jesus Christ. First, Christ is revealed to the believer by the Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. John 16:14-15. No one knows Jesus as the Holy Spirit does. He was with Christ through the eternities and throughout his earthly ministry, even to his sacrifices on the cross. As the servant of old told Rebekah of the unknown and unseen bridegroom, Isaac, Genesis 24:33-36, so the Holy Spirit reveals the glories of the Christian's heavenly bridegroom. Secondly, Christ is revealed in the believer by the Holy Spirit. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Galatians 1:15-16. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. Galatians 4:19. And also Ephesians 4:14 and 2 Corinthians 3:18. One of the great purposes of salvation is to restore man to the image of God from which he fell through sin. After conversion, the Holy Spirit seeks to fashion the new babe in Christ into Christ's own image and to implant his likeness within his heart. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, is a description of the character of Christ. And as this is found in the life of the believer, so he is growing into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. Christ is revealed through the believer by the Holy Spirit, who will not speak on his own initiative. Shall glorify me, John 16:13-14. The Holy Spirit never magnifies himself, nor yet the human vessel through whom he operates. He came to magnify the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. Whenever he is truly having his way, Christ and none other is exalted. Note the heart of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. See what Philip, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, spoke about. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Acts 8:35. In Old Testament times, God was manifested through the law and the prophets. In the days of his flesh, Jesus was the manifestation of God to the world. Now God manifests himself through his Holy Spirit's revelation of Christ through human vessels. D. He is the reprover and convictor of the world. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. John 16:9-11. We have studied this ministry of the Holy Spirit in the previous lessons, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicts.